Approaching on a 25 seconds. 20 seconds and counting. On at 15 seconds, guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, all engine running. Liftoff, we have a liftoff, 32 minutes past the hour. Tower cleared.
And as Apollo 11 does its roll program, this podcast now does its roll program. The tape is rolling. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. My name is Grant Cameron, and you're listening to the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. Thank you for taking time from your life to be here. Welcome to the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. This is Grant Cameron. I'm going to do a little preview of a presentation I'm doing tomorrow for UFO Congress on UFOs and the presidents. I worked on this since the 1980s, and this is the first time I've lectured on the presidents in a number of years. Got a little bit of new information, so I'm happy to do an update. In the presentation, what I first set up is the fact that there have been 15 administrations that have dealt with the UFO problem, whatever you want to call it. There have been 8 Democratic administrations, 7 Republican administrations. What I point out to start is that if there was some sort of illegal operation going, somebody would have defected by now. Constitution is big in the United States, and there's been a lot of people that have been involved, Secretary of Defenses, CIA directors, directors of National Intelligence, people like that. And it seems inconceivable to me that you'd have 15 administrations where everybody would just sort of stay in line, because what you've got to realize is that in these 15 administrations, everybody has done exactly the same thing, which indicates that no matter which side of the fence you're on, your guys have done exactly the same as the other guys. So it would appear to me that whatever is going on, whatever the holdup is in terms of releasing what they know and making an open statement, everybody inside who's dealing with it believes it's constitutional and they're doing the right thing. Excuse me. The other thing I point out, I pointed this a number of times when I talk about presidents, is people always have this idea that there is somebody in behind the scenes who's pulling the strings. And I always like to point out that when it comes to Constitution and the president is running the show. And it doesn't make any sense to me that people would violate very basic constitutional rules and regulations in order to cover up. Let me give you an example. There are 5 things that I point out. The control of classified information, everybody thinks it's a law. It's not a law. All classified information comes from one thing, from the executive office of the president. The president is in charge of all classified material. So in 1942, Roosevelt began this idea where there was secret and there was confidential. I think Truman or Eisenhower added top secret as a classification. Then the need to know stuff came later on. But it's always the president. So you'll hear stories that somebody has 15 levels higher security clearance than the president. It's absolute nonsense, because the president doesn't have a security clearance. Doesn't need a security clearance. He's the guy that's running the show. He's the one that's classifying the material. So he doesn't need a security clearance. And it seems totally inconceivable to me that there's somebody above him who is controlling his classified material. The second thing I point out is that constitutionally, if we're dealing with extraterrestrials or somebody outside the United States of America, the only people that can deal with them and negotiate with them or sign a treaty is the head of state. The president of the United States is the official head of state. You cannot have a GS-13 working to negotiate with aliens and keep the president out. So constitutionally, he has to be in charge at that level. The president is the civilian commander of the U.S. military. If anybody inside the U.S. military, the claim is that they are running the show, that they're covering up over top of the president, that is insubordination to the commander in chief. That is punishable by all sorts of strong measures. It is inconceivable to me that all the military are insubordinate to the commander. The president is running the show. If the cover-up is inside the government itself, the president is the CEO of the government. He's in charge of all the government agencies, and therefore he's at the top of that pyramid as well. And wherever that cover-up would lead, it would be inconceivable that you could have a cover-up at a lower level and be insubordinate to the CEO. The last thing I point out is that the president is the head of all intelligence agencies, and there are rumored to be over 24 of them from the last estimate I heard. And all the intelligence agencies have only one job. That job is to provide the best intelligence possible to the president and to the executive branch and to the Congress. That is their only job. They don't do anything else. They're just gathering intelligence for the big decision people, the people at 60,000 feet who are making the calls. So it seems inconceivable that the president is on top of all these pyramids, at the top of all these structures, and the fact that he wouldn't know is totally inconceivable. The president doesn't have a security clearance. The president can get whatever he wants. All he has to do is ask for it, and then there's the famous expression, they will move a mountain to get the president what he requests. Now, the president may stay out of it and say, plausible deniability, don't tell me, I'll pretend I don't know, and they'll brief him when he needs to, but that's a different situation. The president is still the chief guy. Now, I'll go through some of the presidents and some of the stuff I'm going to bring up. I'm going to do this very short because the lectures tomorrow, I'm just going to sort of review. The stories that I sort of go through are the Roosevelt, the 1942 story of the overflight of L.A. There are actually documents in the Roosevelt Library that reference this overflight. But Roosevelt actually writes back, and he basically asks just one question. Who orders the alert? So the alert was called for the shooting down of all this stuff that was flying over. And that's all he wanted to know. There was no reference to UFOs or anything like that. The more important Roosevelt story that I think has some substance is a story that was told to me by two 80-some-year-old women in Ohio. I actually went to Ohio to interview them. And they tell the story. The one said she's definitely sure that she was told a story in 1948. And her father, they're sisters, and their father was a minister in Ohio. And the father's second cousin was Cordell Hull, who was the longest serving Secretary of State in the U.S., and he retired in 1944. So whatever this story is, it occurred before 1944. And the story that the father told these two daughters independently, they both confirmed they'd heard it independent from the other daughter, was that Cordell Hull had taken him when he was in Washington to the sub-basement of the Capitol and shown him beings that were in like pickle jars and a craft that was metallic, but was very, very light. So that story seemed to be pretty reliable in terms of these two women telling this story coming forward. And it's strange that it happens in the sub-basement of the Capitol, because that's exactly where Jesse Marcel Jr. Stated that he was taken by Dick D'Amato, the lawyer for the Senate Appropriations Committee, who was sent to Area 51 to find out what was going on. And it was D'Amato who told Jesse Marcel in the sub-basement of the Capitol that this is for real, there is hardware, I'm just here to find out how much security is costing. So those are the Roosevelt stories. There's one more. The president's wife, Eleanor Roosevelt, was actually very interested in UFOs. She actually had a radio show in the early 1950s and actually does an interview. I think it's still online. With two airline captains who had UFO sightings. So you do get a lot of first ladies who are interested not only in UFO stuff, but paranormal phenomena, ghosts, seances, spoon bending, all this kind of stuff. The first ladies often get involved. Now onto the Truman administration. I talk about this and you hear this story over and over again. The president's this idiot. They put him in a closet. He doesn't know what's going on. Everybody's keeping him, you know, locked up, and he has no clue what's going on. And so I go to the Truman administration, and I show that Truman absolutely knew what was going on. I reference his air advisor, who was General Landry, who in an oral history at the Truman Library tells the story of being brought in as the air advisor in February of 1948 and is asked by Truman to give him UFO briefings orally. So at that point, they knew already how to keep it secret, and that is just simply do not put it on paper. So he went to the CIA, he gathered this material, and every 3 months he briefed Truman. So he would have given 15 plus briefings before Truman left office in January of 1953. The other thing is that Landry was asked later in his life by his family about the Roswell incident when it became popular. And he had promised that before he died, he would tell the family the Roswell story. He told his grandson that if I told you about the Roswell story, nothing would ever be the same in the world for you again. He did die. He didn't really tell the story, but this is a story he told to his grandson, indicating that he did know what was going on with Roswell. In the lecture tomorrow, I'll actually play a video clip of Truman talking about the fact that they talked to the military at every chance they got about UFOs. So clearly, this is a subject that they knew about and that they were actually discussing with the military. The other story I'm going to play an audio clip of Frank Edwards, who was one of the biggest radio broadcasters of the 1950s. He had 10 million listeners on Mutual Radio, and he had written a number of books on UFOs. He gives a lecture in 1956 in Detroit, where he tells a story about Albert Einstein going to the president over the 1952 shoot-down order, where Truman had ordered a shoot-down of anything that would not land when asked. And according to Frank Edwards, and I'll play this audio clip, Einstein said to the president, "Mr. President, anybody who can come across millions of miles of space will know what to do once they get here. Don't start something you can't finish." Going on to the Eisenhower administration, there's been a lot of stories told, and I'm not really going to repeat a lot of them. The one I'm going to discount, but first there was a sighting story that he was on a ship before he became president, on a Navy ship, had a UFO sighting. Pretty hard to track down whether that's true or not. The big story I'll just sort of briefly mention, and I'll talk tomorrow about, is the incident at Muroc, which I actually went twice to the Eisenhower Library to look at the files. The president did disappear in February 20th, 1954. The media knew he was gone, and the story was he'd broken a tooth and had gone to the dentist. The story came out in the UFO world 2 weeks later was that he had met with etheric beings and that he had been at Muroc, which is now Edwards Air Force Base. The story has now been twisted around into turning it into gray aliens, a treaty on abductions in exchange for technology, which is total nonsense, because number one, the grays weren't around in 1954 in any literature that anybody knew about. Secondly, the grays, if they are abducting people, they can do whatever they want. They don't need to sign a treaty. And if you sign a treaty with the grays and they break the treaty, what are you going to do? Take them to court? And the other thing that doesn't make any sense is that the grays would make a treaty where they would give advanced technology to the U.S. military, with which the U.S. military is going to turn around and try to shoot them down. It's a total nonsense story. I maintain that if anything did have anything to do with an E.T. meeting at Edwards Air Force Base, it had to do with an incident that occurred a week later in the Pacific, the first test of Castle Bravo, which went terribly bad. It's the biggest nuclear contamination story in history. It happened a couple of days after that supposed meeting. And it may have been that Eisenhower was being warned to shut down the nuclear weapons, because that was the main message of most of the aliens in the 1950s, was stop the nuclear weapons. Kennedy, I'm actually going to skip. There's really nothing happening in Kennedy. I'll just basically mention that people tell all these bizarre stories that Kennedy was killed because he was going to give the stuff to the Russians. And at the same time, the same people are telling the story that Kennedy didn't know what was going on, that he was cut out of the loop along with Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton. Kennedy knew nothing. Kennedy was not interested in UFOs from what I could see. His brother, Robert Kennedy, the attorney general, was very interested in UFOs. And at the Kennedy Library, there's a whole collection of letters of Robert Kennedy answering UFO letters from people. The thing is that he's very, very skeptical about UFOs, but he does answer a number of UFO letters in the White House. The Johnson, I'll spend a little bit of time tomorrow, because the Johnson is a kind of an important news story. I have been honored enough to get 100 pages of maybe 250 pages of a manuscript that was written in the 1990s on an oral, on a eyes-only study that was done on UFOs for President Johnson. I'll get into a little bit of the details tomorrow. I will mention that I did a previous podcast on this where I actually read the entire conclusion that was arrived at this study. The study was done by eight people for 9 months. And some of the people that were included on the study were Art Lundahl, who was the first head of the Weird Desk. He was succeeded by Kit Green, who was succeeded by Ron Pandolfi. And then there's another guy who I'm not sure what his name is. I've seen a photograph of the guy, but this is sort of the main desk where the people may be giving the briefing to the president. This may be the top person. So Art Lundahl was one of the people on this this study that was done for President Johnson. The study was initiated by James McDonald, who was a friend of the president, who was putting a lot of pressure on the president to do a UFO study. And so a guy by the name of Frank Rand was hired. He was an assistant to the president, and he put together this panel to do an investigation. And Johnson said, now go tell McDonald, we're doing the study, and get him off my back. And so the study was done. It ran for 9 months. And the people, as I mentioned before, it was Art Lundahl. And the people that linked up on the panel, and I've mentioned this before, the people that were running the study for Johnson are basically the same level people that are in TTSA. So you have Art Lundahl, and now Ron Pandolfi has been sort of tied into TTSA and Kit Green. And so you have this same sort of level. In the Tom DeLonge group of people that he was put in contact with, McCaslin was a two-star general at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. The Johnson study had a guy by the name of Stewart, who was a three-star general at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, who was on this study of the UFOs for the president. The other people, Lou Brocking, who was, they changed his name, was a physicist from a UC California University. The To the Stars had Hal Puthoff. Then we had Kelly Johnson, who was on the 1967 study for the president. He was the head of Lockheed Skunk Works. And as you look back on the WikiLeaks emails, you'll see that Robert Weiss, who was the head of Lockheed Skunk Works, was working with Tom DeLonge. You have a backup physicist, and there's other physicists with To the Stars. And one of the people that was interestingly mentioned in the 67 studies was a guy by the name of McMillan, Dr. McMillan, who was identified in the study as the Secretary of the Air Force. But he was actually more, because I'm not sure whether Frank Rand, who did the study, actually knew. He was the head of the National Reconnaissance Organization as well, and that was not declassified until the early 1990s. And I think this write-up of the study may have been done before, so Rand may not even have known that this guy ran this big top-secret organization that remained classified for many years. And I've heard stories that Tom DeLonge has a general inside the National Reconnaissance Organization. So you're seeing these sort of parallels. The other one is Dr. Losh, who is a kind of an interesting addition to this 67 study. And it's a female professor at the University of Michigan, an astronomer, who was on there. So they ran this study for 9 months. And I will actually read to you the interesting thing that was put at the end. And what you see is that this is almost like a carbon copy of the UAP Task Force report. Listen to this. Collectively, we believe that we had access to all special programs and budgets, classified and unclassified, in the USA. We were cleared into the classified intelligence on the Russians and Chinese. So they're back in the 60s, they're already playing, you know, evil foreigner thing, Chinese and the Russians. We believe, therefore, we could sort out and eliminate all USA and foreign programs and developments from the UFO sightings, classified and unclassified. That's basically what the conclusion of the UAP was. We really don't know what it is, but we can guarantee you it's not U.S., it's not Russian, and it's not Chinese. Exactly what they said in the 1960s. Now, I've done it. As I said, I'm not going to get too much in detail. I've done an entire podcast on this, but I will read you a little bit of the conclusion of what was the conclusion that was given to the president in, I believe it was 1967. Number one, there is abundant evidence that suggests the flying saucer, the unidentified flying objects or crafts are real. They have intelligence. They are often observed with highly reflective metal-looking outer skin surfaces. Some UFOs have been observed as they closed and then have flown along in formation with both military and commercial aircraft. Some were observed while flying in close formation for extended periods by both military and civilian crews and passengers aboard both the military aircraft and the civilian. So basically, that's exactly what you're hearing from the Nimitz. The same thing, the engagement with U.S. military, with these UFOs coming in close, flying along the thing. This is nothing new. What the conclusion of this study actually came down to is they speculated on different types of propulsion systems. But basically, in the end, they say exactly what the UAP Task Force report says. It's not us. It's not the Russians. It's not the Chinese. This is for real. And we really don't know what it is. That's the conclusion to the 67 study that was given to President Johnson from this high-level committee of investigators. One of the things I'll mention here is kind of an interesting backup of this study was if you've seen 7 News, the documentary done in UFOs in Australia, you'll see the interview of a schoolteacher who was threatened by Australian military people that he would lose his job if he didn't shut his mouth and not talk about it. But he also mentions the fact that 1 year later, James McDonald from the University of Arizona came to Australia and interviewed him on behalf of a study he was doing for the President of the United States. We now have a lot of information on that study. The other interesting thing about this Westall UFO case in April of 1966 is it occurs on exactly the same day as the Ford Armed Services Committee first hearing done. Ford was very adamant. He wanted a hearing, and it was brought up inside the Armed Services Committee. If you look at the report, it says the Australian date was the day after, but Australia's like 13 hours ahead, so it's actually on the same day, which is kind of unusual. Go to Nixon. Nixon, I say, is the guy that brought in the contractors, or at least that makes sense according to the material. Blue Book was shut down, and this was handed off to contractors. The Gleason story, I won't get into. It's been told many times. The one I will mention is Nixon, I firmly believe, was in charge of leaking material to a documentary called UFOs, Past, Present, and Future, by Fred Bob Emenegger, showed a document to Linda Howe and to another researcher in which Nixon is thanking him for cooperation on the project that we worked on and told Linda and the thing it had to do with this UFO documentary. Going on to the Ford administration, one of the interesting things I always like to point out about Gerald Ford is that he was very adamant when he was a congressman that he was going to get to the bottom of this whole thing, and he was going to put people under subpoena and force them to testify under oath, and he was going to get to the bottom of this thing. And as soon as he got to the White House, he never used the word UFO ever again. Not when he was in the White House. Never used the word UFO. He did talk about it in one letter after he signed a letter to George Filer, in which he said, I asked as congressman, as vice president, as president, I was not able to get anything. But he was one, and the second guy followed him was Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter also was very adamant about UFOs before he became president. He talked about it after, but when he was in the White House, he never used the word UFO. Now, the one big story, and I'll just be brief here because people have heard it. The story is that Bush briefed Carter, and a lot of people tell the story that he was CIA director under Carter, and he briefed him and told him curiosity is not sufficient need to know. The part that is absolutely wrong about that story is he was not the CIA director. He was the briefer for Carter in the intelligence briefing as president-elect. He never served a single day under the Carter administration. Carter fired him, so he was never CIA director, but he was the guy who gave the intelligence briefing when Carter came in and was being briefed just before becoming president. I maintain that the president knows that the president will be in a situation where, as the expression goes, the president cannot be a player. They make it look like the president, they give him plausible deniability, they move the president away from the subject, and anything he does is done in the background. Jimmy Carter was always given the reputation that he didn't do anything. He made all these promises and went in and didn't do anything. He absolutely did. There was an SRI study that actually helped put off indirectly confirms that took place. It was to be on ETs inside SRI, and that study was shut down by the Pentagon. That study did start to go ahead, and NASA had a request to do from Carter's science advisor. So that's the way it works, is you don't do it yourself. You have people under you who make the requests and gives you plausible liability. So the science advisor went to NASA and asked for a study, and they said their budget had been cut. They didn't have the money to do a study. And they said, if you have pieces of metal, we will analyze the pieces of metal, but we have no time to do a UFO study. Jody Powell went and forced out 1,500 pages of documents from the FBI, put pressure on them. There was a lawyer putting on pressure inside the CIA to get responses to an FOIA on UFOs, and that produced 1,000 pages of documents inside the CIA. Danny Sheehan tells the story of Marcia Smith doing two reports for the Library of Congress for Jimmy Carter, one on UFOs, one on ET intelligence. And so there was a lot of stuff going inside the Carter administration, but nothing openly on the surface. He was working behind the scenes through other people. The Reagan administration, Reagan had two sightings. One, according to Lucille Ball, as she told Shirley MacLaine, was an actual encounter with a being, not just a sighting. And the second thing that I maintain, that Ronald Reagan was behind a documentary called UFO Cover-Up Live, which was run in October of 1988, a couple days before he left office with the election. And it was there that they brought in the idea of the live alien and the Avery and a bunch of new material that was leaked. I believe that Reagan was behind that. And even Bob Emeniger, who had done this thing that he believed he'd been done for Nixon, actually was requested to do another study inside the Reagan administration, and he started to ask, is this the president asking for this? They wanted him to do another new documentary in 1985, and that one never came to be, but he was requested. Now, again, I mentioned this fact that people say the president doesn't know. I'll play a video clip of Dan Quayle, the vice president of President Bush. And he talks about the fact that, yes, they did know. And yes, they spent a lot of time trying to get information on UFOs. And they were not very successful in figuring out what was going on. That is the bottom line story. Yes, UFOs are real, and nobody can really figure out what's going on. Now on to the Clinton administration. Clinton was one of the bigger ones because we got the Rockefeller Initiative. A lot of people put forward a story that there's these briefings given to the president. A briefing is very official. A lot of the briefings that you hear that were given to the president aren't briefings. Lawrence Rockefeller is one that he went in and he briefed the White House and the science advisor. That was not a briefing. He's a private citizen. It's not considered a briefing. The official briefing is done with a briefing officer. It's done officially. All the material is vetted. What happened there was Rockefeller said he wanted to talk to the president about UFOs, and they cut him off because the president can't be a player. He was forced to deal with the science advisor, Jack Gibbons, and he was going to go in, and Jack Gibbons asked for a UFO briefing. That request went to Ron Pandolfi at the CIA. Ron Pandolfi could not do the briefing because, of course, the CIA is not involved in UFOs, so he gave the job to Bruce McAbee, his friend. Bruce McAbee spent all night writing what he thought was a briefing for the science advisor. It actually came in after the briefing took place, so it was never presented. A second piece of information called The Matrix of UFO Beliefs was presented at that Rockefeller meeting with the science advisor, but again, it was written by a civilian, was not a briefing. So there were no briefings given. If there was an official briefing, it would have been given by Ron Pandolfi or somebody who would go in officially off the record to give the briefing to the science advisor. What's interesting, and I've pointed this out many times, is that the Roswell report that came out in the 1990s, people think the Air Force actually went out and did this. It's not even close to being true. The last thing the U.S. Air Force wanted to do is go and reinvestigate Roswell. So what happened was that Rockefeller was putting pressure on the science advisor, and he was threatening to put a full-page news ad in every major newspaper in the United States. And they said, what can we do? You say it's very deep. It's very highly classified, and we can't get it all. Give us one case. We'll go after the one case. We'll declassify that. Then we'll go after the rest. And that's when Rockefeller said, okay, we're going to I want you to do the Roswell report. And that's why they did the Roswell, not because the U.S. Air Force wanted to do a report. Then in 1995, Clinton got the report, and it came back and said that didn't talk about the bodies. Then Bill Clinton went to Belfast, Northern Ireland, and made a speech and said, if they did find bodies, they didn't tell me, and I want to know. And then in 1997, the U.S. Air Force was forced to do a second Roswell report, and that's where they talked about the bodies and discounted the bodies as dummies being dropped in 1953. The whole idea of the briefing is very important because Bill Clinton actually supposedly does talk to Rockefeller about this and what the concept is. I had heard that Ron Pandolfi had said when he was asked to brief George W. Bush in 2000, he had told Dan Smith, the president can't be a player and you have to do it before or after, but you can't when he's the president, this idea. Clinton explains it this way to Rockefeller, because Rockefeller brought the Clintons to the Rockefeller Ranch in the summer of 1995. And it was there that he had this, what he thought was a briefing. He was going to make his pitch for UFOs. According to the stories I've heard, the president did not show up at the meeting. That makes sense. The president can't be a player. So only Hillary showed up at this meeting. She listened to Rockefeller make his pitch for UFOs. She didn't say anything. The next morning, she said to Rockefeller, okay, now we've listened to you. Don't ever bring up the subject again. That day during that visit, Rockefeller went for a walk with Bill Clinton, and Bill Clinton explained why this could not happen. He called it the Arkansas Tar Baby story. This is the story of Br'er Rabbit, who's caught by the fox. The fox makes this little tar baby made out of tar and puts him along the road. And Br'er Rabbit comes along and says good morning to the tar baby. Tar baby doesn't reply. Br'er Rabbit gets mad, punches the tar baby in the head, gets his hand stuck to the tar baby, punches him with the other hand. His other hand gets stuck, then kicks him with his feet. And suddenly he's completely tied up with the tar baby. He's stuck. Everything is stuck to the tar baby. And that's what Bill Clinton said. This is like the tar baby story. You cannot touch it. The president cannot touch the story. And so they play this plausible deniability thing. One of the interesting things I bring up is the fact that the X-Files, when I filed 100 or whatever it was, FOIAs with the Clinton Library, one of the FOIAs showed that Bill Clinton had demanded that the Sci-Fi Channel be put into Camp David the same day, as if there was something on that weekend at camp on the Sci-Fi Channel that he needed to watch. And they had this emergency thing where they had to go and put sci-fi into Camp David. Now, George W. Bush, again, he admitted clearly that he knew what was going on. His father had said under Quayle made this statement that yes, they'd worked on it. And Bush was asked by Jimmy Kimmel, did you actually look for the material? And then he said, that's the same question my daughters ask me. And he said, what did you tell your daughters? And he said, nothing. And so what are you going to tell us? I'm telling you nothing. So he didn't deny that he had seen it. It appeared that he had looked for the material and he just wasn't going to talk about it. He's not going to say anything. So again, you have this fact that the president will know, but he's not allowed to be a player and he's not allowed to talk. On to the Obamas. Obama was the biggest. There's nobody came close to Obama about talking about UFOs and leaking stuff and making jokes about it. And he actually did say, when this thing all started to shake out with To the Stars, he actually, and this Scott confirmed that these videos were real, he actually did say that he did look. And he was asked the question, where was it withheld from you? Because that was always the idea that the Democrats would have this stuff withheld from them. And he said, no, it was not withheld from him, but it took a lot of effort to get at it. This is this idea that Podesta had brought. It's deep inside the bowels of the Pentagon, so you have to be able to get at it. But again, when the president asks for something, there's no way they can stop him. He can just keep firing people until he gets what he wants. The president has to be obeyed. Obama has an incident that happens with a girl by Macy Hensley, who's a little 6-year-old, who is an expert on presidents, and they set up a thing, and it's actually on a cue card. If you look at the background on it, it appears it was actually done on cue cards. This was all planned. And she says she's on the Ellen show, and Ellen says, "Have you got a question for the president?" And Macy said, "Yeah, I got a question. Are there aliens?" And of course, how does Barack Obama answer it? He answers it with a question. "So what do you think?" And Macy said, "Yeah, I think there's aliens." "Well, why do you think that?" She says, "Because I saw it on the President's Book of Secrets on TV." And so it turned into this sort of joke. And he said to her, "We haven't made communication, but if we do, you'll be the first I tell." So he also is very famous for this idea that people have to realize that when the president talks about something, it's immediately declassified. It was Barack Obama that declassified Area 51. He did it at the Kennedy Center. He was giving a nomination to Shirley MacLaine. This was planned. And he said, "When you become president, everybody always asks you about Area 51, what's going on at Area 51. I didn't know, so I decided I'd phone Shirley MacLaine and find out." So the minute he mentions Area 51, that's now classified. The name is now no longer secret. You can talk about it, but it was the president who actually did it. And he actually does it the day after John Podesta comes into the White House. John Podesta comes into the White House for 1 year under Obama as a legal advisor. And it's the day after that event is when he does this Area 51 thing. I maintain the Obama thing. Basically, all the disclosure you're seeing right now is based upon John Podesta. John Podesta got Hillary Clinton to make an agreement that if she became president, she would move to declassify all the material. She actually says this. She talks about UFOs three times during the 2016 campaign. And in all three cases, she just answers questions. She does not bring up the subject. She answers questions. In the one question answer she gives, she says that she promised John that she would do it. She's asked by Kimmel, "Your husband said he couldn't get anything. So how do you think you're going to get it?" She said, I'm going to do it again," as if she's going to do it right this time. So this was actually known. I actually talk about it in a book called Managing Magic, which was released. It was copyrighted in February of 2017. I knew all this. This was all supposed to drop. What you see is happening now was supposed to happen in 2016. I was told it was going to happen as soon as Hillary became president. I was told high-level government officials are going to come forward. That is, people like Mellon, Lou Elizondo, Jim Semivan, they're going to say UFOs are real and they're going to force disclosure. And you go back to the first the interview with Kimmel, where Hillary was supposed to be, she was interviewed by him in the fall of 2015 before she starts answering UFO questions, and he's supposed to ask her the UFO question, and he doesn't ask her, and she's really upset, according to the WikiLeaks emails, because she had practiced the answer. Part of the answer was one that she gave in the spring of 2016 when Kimmel finally asked her the question, and that is, there's a new nomenclature. It's called UAPs. It's no longer called UFOs. So you can see all this changing the name, the declassification, the people coming forward. I was even told in 2016 that the big man was going to go on 60 Minutes. Now, the big man at that time, I think, was considered to be Jim Semivan, but the 60 Minute thing was already planned in 2016. What happened was Hillary lost the election. I talked to the people that were informing me of this going to happen, and they said, everything's just, the green light's still on. Everything's a go. It's still going to be done. But it took a while because all three of the major DeLong witnesses, Lockheed Skunk Works, Robert Weiss, McCaslin, the general, and McKay, the general, had been outed in WikiLeaks, and so it all fallen apart, and they had to bring in the B team, bring in other people, and it took them 8 months. But I identify Jim Semivan, and I identify that what they're going to do already back in February of 2017. They don't do it until they go public in October, and then in December is when they leak these videos to the New York Times, and they force disclosure through the New York Times in December of 2017. But as I said, we knew this was going on long before there. I was very open about it, and it's in a book which is published long before Tom DeLonge that To the Stars was actually announced. One of the things I'll point out tomorrow is an interesting letter from Leslie Kane, February 15th, 2015, that confirms that John Podesta may be the key of this whole thing. John Podesta was contacted by Tom DeLonge in 2015, and he didn't seem like he was paying attention. He said to Tom, phone me back in 2 months. Tom didn't phone him back because he thought he wasn't buying the little pitch he was putting out. So Podesta phones him back and he said, I'm ready to be involved. This is very important. Fly to Washington, D.C. So I believe Podesta was behind all this stuff. And you'll see there's a letter from Leslie Kane to John Podesta, February 15th, 2015, in which she's asking for permission. I'll show this letter tomorrow. She's asking for permission from John Podesta to do a UFO article with a reporter at the New York Times. So you can see if she's asking permission from Podesta to do an article, Podesta has some sort of role in unraveling this thing. And I think that's exactly what it came down to, is you had to go in behind the scenes and figure out who's involved and what people are going to do, and do it without any fingerprints on it. I mentioned the one funny commercial that Obama actually does to show that he likes to think of a sense of humor. And that is that he does a fundraising commercial. And there he said, if you give the money, I will release the UFO files. And then some guy off camera says, you can't do that. They're classified. And he said, really? They're right in my desk here. I was going to release them. And so, you get that. Now, the one thing I'll mention, and this has been confirmed by Ryan Bledsoe, Chris Bledsoe's son, is that there was actually a briefing done of Barack Obama and at the Camp David, and it had to do with messages that Chris was getting. And Tyler D, who's in American Cosmic, actually goes and gives the briefing, and there's a napkin from Camp David. I posted this a number of years ago. I didn't know the whole story. I knew it was important that Chris had put this napkin up about Camp David, and that was to confirm that the briefing actually did take place. I'll mention the book that Hillary did, that we filed an FOIA, and I got these photographs coming back from the Rockefeller Ranch, and in there's a book upside down backwards that Hillary's carrying that was given to her by Lawrence Rockefeller. The important part of that is that the book is on the philosophical implications of the discovery of extraterrestrial life. So Hillary is very much involved in this. She's very interested in it. And going to Donald Trump, and I was actually brought in on a briefing. And again, they called it a briefing. It wasn't a briefing. They wanted to do a briefing with Rance Priebus, who was the first chief of staff for Trump, because they believed Trump was going to be overrun, that nobody would tell him what was going on. And they came to me to help with the details for this briefing and the questions. And they asked me, well, where are the bodies? Where are the crafts? And I said, I haven't got a clue. How would I know where they are? And I said, you got to realize that if there's a briefing, the president brings in whoever he brings in as director of national intelligence or CIA director or secretary of the defense, he's bringing in his own guys. So if they lie to him, who's got the blame but himself? I said, this makes no sense. He's hiring all the people. So how can these people be lying to him? How are they going to walk around him? You're making this assumption that there's somebody above him. And you can see with Trump, he had six direct secretaries of defense in 4 years of administration. The president can fire anybody he wants. I mean, there's very few people who are going to try to overrun the president. The other thing that I would mention, people always sort of have this thing about the president is trying to cover up, but in a lot of cases, the president really isn't interested. And that's exemplified by Donald Trump, who was asked by the New York Times about UFOs back in 2016 already. Hillary Clinton was talking about it, and the New York Times had picked it up, and it was a big story. And they actually went to a reporter from New York Times went to Donald Trump and said, Hillary's talking about UFOs. What do you got to say about UFOs? And he said, oh, I assume that has to do with outer space. I'm not interested. And that's the point. A lot of politicians just aren't interested. Couldn't care less. It's not a subject. The briefing was actually done with Donald Trump. He was actually shown the videos from the Navy people. And then when Donald Trump went public and said that he had been seeing the videos, then those videos were now declassified. People could talk about the videos because the president had said, yes, he'd seen them. He was told that they were real. but he didn't believe it. He didn't really believe in UFOs. And that's, you see over and over again with politicians is, yeah, okay, whatever, but I'm really just not interested. And the important thing was that those videos were then declassified. So again, it comes to 2000, this last year when Biden gets in and people attack him for exactly what Donald Trump did. And that is the fact that, Obama was talking, he'd gone on three shows and basically confirmed, yes, the videos are real. Instead of saying, I can't talk about it, now he was saying, yes, the videos are real. We really don't know what they are. And that's exactly what Trump had said. And Trump had made it declassified by talking about it. So, Biden was asked, well, Obama's talking about the UFOs. What do you got to say? And he said, ask Obama again, and walked off the stage. And everybody basically figured, you know, this was the cover up again, but it's basically Biden who basically is not interested in UFOs. I will actually play a video clip of Biden in 2007 at a presidential debate being asked about UFOs. He has no interest whatsoever in it. And so he walks around the question of UFOs. But again, it's the same thing. You walk around the question because the president cannot be a player. An example, Donald Trump's press secretary was asked when all this Hillary stuff was heating up, was asked about UFOs. What does the president think? She said later to the reporter who asked the question, we knew the question was coming. She said to him, I really haven't talked to the president about that, but I'll go ask him about UFOs and I'll get back to you. And of course, I went to the reporter a couple times and said, did she come back to you? And of course she didn't come back. They walked around the question. You don't want the president. You don't want the president getting involved in this thing, because I maintain the president, they really don't know. You don't want the president up there admitting you don't know. You don't want to put your cards on the table. So they play this plausible deniability thing and they walk around it. The idea that Biden is like Jimmy Carter doing stuff in the background is exemplified by the fact that NASA is actually the director of National Aeronautics and Space Administration is actually talking about UFOs. And I don't think that you can say, well, we're going to start investigating UFOs and we're going to look into this unless you got a green light from the White House, because that's under the White House. That's under the science advisor, the OSTP. And the other thing that ties into that is that at a conversation with James Fox, and James Fox said he talked to Podesta after this incident with Biden walking around the question, and that he talked to Podesta, and Podesta was advising the president on UFOs, and that he was going to ask him to put it in the OSTP, which is the Office of the Science Advisor to the President. And that's exactly where it was in the Clinton administration. Rather than having it in the military aspect where we're going to make weapons, put it into the scientific aspect where research funds and stuff can be put out. Now, I'm going to leave the rest of it, but I basically, the end of the lecture, I basically get into what does the president actually know? And I will maintain and I will present a number of high-level people, what they're saying now in the last couple of months, that it's the same conclusion as 1967. It is, yes, UFOs are real. Yes, the videos are real. Yes, we are being visited by something, but we really, in the end, really don't know what it is. So people will immediately say, well, what about the bodies? What about the crafts? And I asked Jacques Vallée about this in my interview I did with Jacques Vallée. I said, Jacques, this doesn't make any sense. A craft comes across the galaxy and then little pieces start falling off the craft. This doesn't make any sense, Jacques. Or that they would suddenly start crashing all over the place. Don't you think that this looks more like it's like this stuff's being gifted like a ports and manifestations? And that's when Jacques said, well, I think I came up with that idea. And that's the whole idea, that we are being given this stuff, that they are not crashing on, they are dropping this stuff. And just because you have a body, and they do have at least one body, I believe, and you have bodies and crafts, but unless it has a passport from Zeta Reticuli, how do you know where it comes from? The prime example, and I'll leave it at this, Leslie Kane, who wrote the New York Times article, co-authored it on UFOs in December of 2017, has already also been involved in another phenomenon that's very close to UFOs, and that is physical mediumship. And she was with Stuart Alexander and a number of times. And Stuart Alexander, there was a hand that appeared. And I asked her in the interview I did with Leslie Kane. She talks about it. And I was very clear in what I wanted her to say. And that is, describe exactly how the hand appeared and how it disappeared. So this hand comes up. It's like sort of water coming off this table. And this hand starts to manifest. And it comes out. And she feels it. She says, you can feel the knuckles. And it's warm. And it's exactly like a hand. It is a hand. and then it demanifests and it goes back down and disappears. And she saw this on a number of occasions. It's the same thing with UFOs. Just because you got a hand appear, does that mean the hand came from Zeta Reticuli or Pleiades or Andromeda or whatever? We don't know. It's coming from somewhere. It's able to manifest into our reality and then go back into whatever reality it comes from. The UFO problem I maintain, and I will show at the end, the problem is way more complex than people think it is. And that may be one of the key reasons that the president and the cover-up is taking place, is they really don't know what they're up against. And they're working at it and they're confirming it's real. We have got disclosure. UFOs are real. The videos are real. And we don't know what's going on. That may be the bottom line of disclosure. So that's my thing. It's at UFO Congress tomorrow. I'll get into a little bit more detail than I did today. But that's an update on U.S. presidents, which I have not done for a number of years. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for listening. That's this week's episode of the Paranormal UFO Consciousness Podcast. I'm your host, Grant Cameron, hoping that you will join me for upcoming episodes. Links to my YouTube interviews, books, and my Facebook sites are in the show notes. If you love the podcast or learn something valuable, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, or give a review on today's episode. If you would like a certain paranormal subject dealt with in the future, please let us know. Until next time, watch this space, and thank you so much for listening.